You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. I'd like to help you touch it if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, along with my co-host and friend, James White, and we have a terrific show for you today. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by the esteemed Larry Pratt. He's the executive director of Gun Owners of America, and with Obama moving full force to seize our guns in preparation for the Lord knows what, this is a very, very timely show. Before we start, just wanted to let you know, this segment is brought to you by foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And in our modern world, electronically connected world, suffering from an extended power outage can cause issues from mere annoyance to loss of life for those dependent upon electricity for living assistance. And let's not forget about the hundreds of dollars of food that you likely have in the freezer. A freezer dependent upon electricity. Well, now you can put your worries to rest with the Storm Ready Solar Generator 1500. Order your solar generator today, and we'll throw in a free grab-and-go bucket. If you have to bug out, the grab-and-go bucket is the way to go. 76 meals, reasonably priced, because we're giving it to you for nothing with the purchase of the solar generator. We will even help you finance your survival strategies with our generous 6 months same-as-cash policy. Go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. To start the program off today, let's throw it over to James White.
Thanks, Dave. One of the things that occurs in historically, when a government comes in and confiscates firearms, and as you stated, we're going to have Larry Pratt here at the end of the back end of the hour here. One of the things that happens in a society where the guns are confiscated from the public is a phenomenon known as democide. It's D-E-M-O-C-I-D-E. Democide is really, and I'll read you a definition of it, it's a term that is used to refer to the murder of an individual or group of people through direct actions that were taken by their government. This can include acts of mass murder, genocide, or politically motivated assassinations. Now, before anyone would poo-poo this idea and say that's kind of crazy stuff, David, there's been since 1900, over 240 million people have been killed due to governments, not this particular government, but governments, and hence the term democide. Basically, it's genocide on steroids, Dave. Now, I know that you have intimate knowledge of this, Mr. Hodges, and you've written about this, I think upwards of even 2 years ago. Tell us what you know about democide and how it's a very real possibility if they confiscate our firearms.
Well, Jim, what I know about democide is, first of all, it was studied extensively in the Democide Project sponsored by the University of Hawaii. And they did a marvelous job going back in history. And they measured the casualty rates of death by government and compared it to death by world war or by regional conflict. And what they found is people are much more likely to be killed at the hands of their own government than they are in some kind of foreign conflict or even in a civil war. I mean, this is absolutely stunning when you look at the numbers here. And Jim, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I don't have those democide figures in front of me, but if memory serves me correctly, there were approximately 17 genocides in the 20th century that met the qualification for their study, and every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation.
Well, what you say is correct, and excuse me, that is certainly the last move by a tyrannical government to completely subjugate, and then it seems, historically speaking, to eliminate its population, is the confiscation of firearms. That's why we've talked about on this show so many times that we need to purchase more firearms, and we're very, very happy to see, every time our fraud in chief comes out and makes a statement against guns, seems like the next day there's a new record broken. So I really think the American people are speaking out. But, you know, let's throw some facts out here about democide, Dave, and this isn't really meaning to alarm people. I just really want to educate people and let them know, you know, we live in a society, we live in a nanny state, unfortunately, where people have a tendency to want to rely on the government to solve their problems for them. Now, this is sometimes not any fault of their own, because they've been conditioned seemingly from, you know, cradle to grave. We're conditioned to not use our own talents, but rely on the government. But that's another show altogether. So let's go on some facts about democide here, Dave. And this is from an article that I'm taking here off healthresearchfunding.org. 49% of the democide deaths in Soviet Russia between 1917 and 1987 were caused due to the conditions of camps people were forced into. Just 5% of the people were killed because of deportation. Now, Dave, we can pause right there. Camps that people were forced into. Dave, you know as well as I do that there are FEMA camps. There have been other people that apparently our alternative media have tried to poo-poo them, and we won't name any names, but we know that they exist. There's ample evidence to prove it. Camps, Dave. This is one of the ways that the government utilizes this democide approach. What say you?
Well, let me talk about the camps issue here, because there are many people, even including some of our esteemed colleagues in the independent media, that will tell you there's no such thing as a FEMA camp. And a FEMA camp has become a euphemism in the modern times for government-forced detention without due process. And let me address the without due process comment. The Congress passed first in 2011, at the strong urging of President Obama, the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, if you will. They renewed this in 2012, and they've renewed it again since that time. Now, under the NDAA, the government, by executive order of the president, can grab any American off the street for no reason or any reason whatsoever and completely deny them due process. They can house them away in an unknown location. They can declare them to be an enemy combatant. The person is not allowed to challenge this. There is no lawyer. There is no due process. There's no call to a family. There's no phone call allowed to a lawyer. And if they actually bring you to trial, they use their own judicial system for enemy combatants. And the trial is like a kangaroo court, Jim. They even allow hearsay testimony, and they can keep the defendant from cross-examining witnesses. I mean, this turns our judicial system, our system of jurisprudence, right on its ear. Everybody from Chris Matthews, all the way through the independent media, people have spoken out against this. So the government has granted itself permission to grab people off the street, detain them, and of course they could murder them, because if they're not accountable for the whereabouts or safety of the person, there's no guarantee of safety. So Jim, that is a big, big problem. But let me throw one more thing into here too. For the people who would be a naysayer to the FEMA camp concept, let me just refer to you a document, Army Field Manual 39.4-3, and they lay out the construction and makeup and composition and staffing of a FEMA camp, and it is detailed. They have it right down to the crematorium on how they get rid of the bodies, Jim.
Well, I've seen the coffins, Dave. I've seen the coffins. Now, as you talk about snatching people off the street, that brings me to my next fact about democide. Now, we'll talk about the snatching people off the street part in a second. But between 1900 and 1987, this is 80, in 87 years, 46.6% of the deaths that have occurred in China can be attributed to democide. Dave, that is a staggering number. In 87 years, almost half of all deaths that have occurred in China are attributed to democide. Now, you talk about snatching people off the street. Here's another thing that the listeners may not be aware of. There's an active program, admittedly, in China, where they drive around in vans, and they will snatch people right off the street and harvest their organs in the vans for wealthy people that are wealthy clients. Now, Dave, I know this sounds incredible, what I'm just saying to you, but you've researched that. What I'm saying to you is true. What I'm saying is true. Is that not correct from your research?
It's more than true. It's a common practice. It's not secret. It's admitted to. Occasionally, we'll have a government official from the United States who has a conscience and some moral backbone who actually will speak out against the Chinese on this point. Jim, I'm just telling you straight out, and this is what people need to go do their own research. Go to YouTube and research conspiracy theory and Jesse Ventura. And in a joint episode Jesse did with Alex Jones, they investigated the FEMA camp situation in the United States. First of all, for True TV at the time, conspiracy theory was the number one show on that network. And they rerun these shows 6 times, 20 times, 30 times, and the ratings were as high at the end as they were in the beginning. And the FEMA camp episode set records. Here's what they didn't like. The government stepped in, and True TV is owned by TNT. TNT is owned by Ted Turner, an extreme globalist who's on the record with Audubon Magazine in 1997 saying that we needed to reduce the human population by 90 to 95%. Ted Turner put pressure on his executives at True TV, and they pulled the episode. And the episode was never replayed. YouTube constantly pulls off this episode from the conspiracy theory show on FEMA camps. But people like you and I keep putting these shows back up there because we recorded them. And sometimes it takes YouTube a few days to a couple of weeks to catch up with us. This is real. And Jim, you mentioned the FEMA coffins. If people would go to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and our website there, we have a search engine at the top. If they put in FEMA camps and coffins and the name Sherry Wilcox, who's been a good friend of mine and the show through the years, she went on a FEMA camp hunting expedition one summer about 5 years ago, and what she found was stunning. She found nearly 1 million FEMA camp coffins 50 miles outside of Atlanta. She photographed them. She had herself photographed with them by a companion to prove that she was there and this was real. Jim, there's no question that this government has made plans through documents like Rex 84, Presidential Directive 51, and as I just mentioned, the NDAA, FM 39-3.4. They have done, the government has set themselves up to hijack and kidnap any American that they see fit to take off the streets.
Indeed, you are correct, Dave. And, you know, what's going on here in this country now that's been being shouted from the rooftops by many people in alternative media for many years now? What they've done is they've essentially taken the whole entire apparatus that they have built for the quote-unquote war on terror that an argument can be made they may have had a hand in facilitating, but that's, as I said, that could be another show. But what they've done here is they've utilized the war on terror and to build up, as I stated, a large military apparatus, billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars in funding since 2001, since 9/11. And what they've done now, Dave, is they've taken that whole apparatus and they've turned those guns around on us. I say us, I mean the Patriot community. They even now, I want to say the Department of Homeland Security has created, if I remember correctly, Dave, this story came out a couple of weeks ago, and you can correct me on this. I want to say that the Department of Homeland Security now has created their own department within that department specifically to root out these constitutionalists and patriots. Is that accurate also, Dave? Isn't it something like that? Wasn't it a couple weeks ago I saw that article come out? Do you remember that?
There's no question that people in the Patriot community are being targeted. We simply have to look at documents that have come out from Homeland Security that basically vilifies Christians. They vilify Second Amendment supporters. And at the time these documents came out, Ron Paul was still an active candidate for president, and they vilified Ron Paul supporters. Anyone who is a pro-constitutionalist, a member of the Libertarian Political Party, this was part of what was called the MIAC report, M-I-A-C, first published by Homeland Security in 2008. And again, if you go to our flagship website at thecommonsenseshow.com and put that into the search engine, you'll find quite a bit of material there on the MIAC report. And they very clearly tell you that the shift in about 2008 went back from being concerned about Muslim terrorists to being more concerned about Americans who want to stand up and preserve their way of life, including being a Christian, following the Ten Commandments, following the Constitution. This makes you an enemy of the state. This is not Dave Hodges and James White in the Common Sense Show saying it. This is the way it is. Well, Jim, we need to step aside for just a minute, and I want to talk to people about making some good alternative choices to keeping their cash in the bank. Yes, you should probably keep enough so you can maintain your monthly bills, and you can pay your mortgage, your car, and so forth, but you need to get your money out of the bank. Folks, the debts are staggering. We talk about it every day. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of when, not if, the dollar is going to collapse. And I would encourage you to get into precious metals. And the person I most highly recommend is Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals. And you can reach Steve at 406-586-4842. Again, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. And Dave Hodges and his family are satisfied customers. Jim, back to you.
Thanks, Dave. And we're talking here now with Larry Pratt coming up here at the bottom of the hour from the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. And for those out there that may not be familiar with Larry Pratt, if you remember Piers Morgan, the former, and I'm proud to say former, host of CNN, although no one really watches hardly CNN anymore these days, he had really, when that whole gun... I believe it was surrounding the Sandy Hook incident, if I remember correctly, when all the debates occurred between, I think, Alex Jones and Larry Pratt were both on there. And Larry Pratt just cleaned Piers Morgan's clock. He really did. I encourage you to stick around for the bottom part of the hour to hear Larry Pratt. Very articulate. His answers are very well thought out, and he's one of my favorite people to interview. But yes, there's organizations, thankfully, Dave, like the NRA and Gun Owners of America in place, because as we've talked about on this show before, you know, the topic here, the democide topic we've talked about in the beginning part of this broadcast, you know, this is the reason that we try to tell people you must never relinquish your firearms. You must never relinquish your firearms. And I'll say it a third time. You must never relinquish your firearms. For if you do, you will be, in no short time, one of the statistics, one of the people that are fall victim to the democide. And I'm telling you, over 240 million people since 1900 have been murdered by their own government. So and the only thing, Dave, I think right now, and we've talked about this, the only thing keeping us currently from the camps, FEMA coffins, or just, you know, all-out tyranny and shackles ourselves, is our Second Amendment. Now, apparently I read our article today where Obama is thinking about moving on his own without Congress against the Second Amendment, and there's sheriffs are coming out saying there's going to be a revolution if he does that. Dave, I'm telling you, we're certainly in some tumultuous times when the president starts talking about taking people's guns.
Well, he's talking about taking the law into his own hands. He's not constitutionally mandated to do what he's trying to do to the Second Amendment. And I reject this president's argument. Not only is he an imposter in the office and didn't deserve to be there in the first place, never vetted for the job as per FBI procedure, he certainly, you can call citizenship into question. As Joe Arpaio said, and he's my sheriff here in Maricopa County where I personally reside, Sheriff Arpaio put his birth certificate through a very strict analysis and found it to be a forgery. So this man does not speak for America. This man does not speak for Americans, and he has no reason or cause to violate the Constitution. But along the lines of gun confiscation with gun ownership, and this is going to be a great lead-in for Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, I just want to read to you something, a very brief snippet here of something I wrote last summer in the midst of the Jade Helm 15 exercises. And for those in the listening audience here on our audience from WMQM Radio 1600 Memphis, you may not know what Jade Helm 15 was if you weren't following it this past spring and summer. But what it basically was the reallocation of troops and the drills effectively drawn from this reallocation of troops and equipment to practice martial law procedures, and included that using special operations forces to extract dissident Americans under the NDAA. But not only are our special operations forces practicing to have done this, we also used foreign troops in the Jade Helm 15 drill. And let me go back to something that I wrote here, and here, let me pull this up here, October 30th of 2015, so just a few months ago. In the midst of the frenetic Jade Helm activities, it was easy to lose track about the importance of several events. This is precisely what happened in Michigan between July 27th and September 15th. During that time, troops from several nations, including 3,000 soldiers from Poland, practiced seizing guns from American citizens. This took place in many states, among which was Michigan, which is the hotbed of Islamic activity today. And I received an email here from a family member of one of the National Guard members in Michigan who trained with these Polish troops. And they said that this gentleman was involved in the training exercise here in Michigan in a combination with several thousand foreign troops. But at the forefront of these troops were Polish soldiers who practiced brutal gun confiscation methods, including execution of non-compliant subjects who did not willingly and immediately surrender their guns. So, Jim, this is what I got from someone who was on the scene and was an eyewitness to these accounts. Jim, let's step aside here and take our final break here. You're listening to the Common Sense Show. We're coming to you on WMQM's AM 1600 out of Memphis. And I want to talk to you about my friend Bob Griswold. If you need survival supplies of any type, Bob is your guy. But you really need to think about getting night vision. Don't make me come to your house and force you to get this, because any survival package includes night vision. This is when you're most vulnerable. This is when you're most likely to be overrun. This is when you'll be outnumbered. Night vision goggles, particularly the PVS 14 third generation auto-gated unit, it's the best in the world. It's military hardware specs. And Bob will basically guarantee your purchase for a week, so you got money back coming to you if you're not satisfied. But how do you get yours? Go to readymaderesources.com and call Bob in the morning at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. Jim, back to you.
Thanks, Dave. You know, ultimately, I have to, be forthright. My thoughts on the whole gun confiscation issue is, I believe that is a desire by those on the left and those that who wish to rule us. However, practically speaking, Dave, here's the conundrum. There's not enough people in this currently serving in the police forces across the country to be able to really pull something like that off with enough time and enough force before the word got out and other gun owners would assemble together, and they'd have the upper hand for not very long, but they would. Now, the second scenario, people might say, well, they'll utilize foreign troops to come in and do some gun confiscation, like you stated earlier. True, true. There has been foreign troops for many, many years that have trained on American soil in many joint exercises, and as many as 12 or 13 different countries in some exercises. So that may be a plan that they may want to accomplish. Now, we know that we also have an agreement with Canada where their troops can also come down and assist us in times of domestic disturbance or whatever criteria they've put together. However, I submit to you, Dave, that if foreign troops from Czechoslovakia or Poland started coming here on American soil and started trying to go to other Americans' homes and confiscate their firearms. I have to believe there's enough good, you know, loyal people to the Constitution and the armed services that would defend us. Now, I know that the latest statistics are that up to 70 to 80%, between 70 and 80% of all of the people that are in the armed forces currently are what you would consider awake. Now, that's at various levels of various degrees, but they are awake to the fraud that's being perpetrated on all of us by the government. So I'm not sure if an all-out gun confiscation, Dave, is even even possible, you know what I'm saying, without some major compliance from the American people. What say you?
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying. And how many people are awake? Well, that's really kind of the $64 million question. There was a study done back in the 90s by the Army at Palm Springs, and they tried to pass it off as a graduate school project, but that was, we know that was a bunch of nonsense. They were actively trying to find out how many American soldiers and officers would fire on American citizens if ordered to do so, particularly if they were being non-compliant with turning in guns. At that time, they found about 60% of the soldiers would do so, but that number has dropped significantly. And what I point to is the treatment of our veterans. I mean, the Veterans Administration went through a horrendous scandal. They're still going through it, in which veterans who bravely served this country were rightfully denied services promised to them by the American taxpayer and our government. These veterans are bitter against their government. I talk to them a lot. 22 of them commit suicide every day. This is an egregious event. But one of the most egregious things our government has done to the veterans is they tried to use their frequently held PTSD status, which many soldiers have for some time after coming back from combat zones, and they're trying to use this as an excuse to get the gun out of their hands. And what will typically happen is a veteran will receive a letter in the mail from the VA saying, we've judged you to be mentally ill, therefore under federal statute you're not allowed to own a gun, turn your gun in, or we cut your veterans' benefits off. And the veterans are really standing up to this as a group. And what we have now is about 30 million veterans of various ages in the country, about 5 million below the age of 35. And I have to tell you, if these foreign troops think that they're going to make a move on our guns in this country, I think the veterans are going to form the vanguard of our civil defense, and I think the American citizens will fall right into line. This is very serious. I mean, I'm a Christian. I don't espouse violence. I condemn violence at every turn, but I can't turn back the events. And the events as I see them, Jim, very simply are this, is that if Obama truly makes a move on the guns, and particularly if he brings in foreign troops under the UN flag to do it, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, Dave, sadly, I think you're correct. And unfortunately, there'll be, in the very beginning, there'll be a lot of fine men and women in the police force that will probably be sort of put into a meat grinder at first, and hopefully they'll decide that it's not really worth it, and they'll take off their uniforms and go home to protect their own families. But that's all the time we have here for this first segment of the Common Sense Show. We'd like you to please stick around with us after this short break. Well, we will have on the other side Larry Pratt, Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. I'm James White, and for my co-host, Dave Hodges, thanks so much for joining us today on The Common Sense Show. We'll talk to you right after this break.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
We're back for the break, and we are really pleased to have with us Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. Jim, let me throw it back over to you to get this started.
Thanks, Dave. We're delighted to have with us Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America for over 30 years. Gun Owners of America is a national membership organization of 300,000 Americans dedicated to promoting their Second Amendment freedom to keep and bear arms. Mr. Pratt has appeared on numerous national radio and TV programs, such as NBC's Today Show, CBS's Good Morning America, CNN's Crossfire, and Larry King Live, Fox Hannity and Combs, and many others. Pratt has held elective office in the state legislature of Virginia, serving in the House of Delegates. Mr. Pratt directs a number of other public interest organizations and serves as the vice chairman of the American Institute for Cancer Research. Larry Pratt, thanks so much for joining us on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Larry, I tell you, this is about the fourth or fifth time that I've interviewed you, and it's always so enjoyable, and it's always so enlightening to have you on the broadcast. Once again, you're quite welcome. You're always my hero, Larry, for taking down Piers Morgan like you did. And, you know, here's the thing. Larry Pratt is still around, and Piers Morgan, you don't hear him too much anymore these days. So I'm happy to hear that. You know, Larry, the reason I heard Obama's comments last Sunday evening, as you probably did, talking about how everybody on the fraudulent no-fly list should probably not be able to own firearms. Immediately after I heard that comment, I thought that I had to contact you and get you on the air. You probably saw that as well, Larry. What did you think about those comments from our fraud in chief last weekend?
Well, what the president has said is he has no regard whatsoever for due process. We don't really know how people get their names on that list, and we certainly don't really know how they get their names off of the list. Ted Kennedy was on that list at least twice, and somebody here on one of the Washington Morning Shows quipped that perhaps he should have been on a no-drive list, but certainly not the no-fly list. Come on. What gives? This list is meaningless, and for us to assume that this is helping us keep America safe, I think is to rely on something that's inherently flawed and could get people killed if we think that, oh, well, we're not letting any bad boys on the plane, so we're okay. Well, so Ted Kennedy goes to the airport and can't get on a plane. Now, as much as I enjoy the thought of that, that's not really keeping America safe. So this list is a joke, a bad joke. And the fact that there's no way to control it, it's just a big mystery as to how people get on and much less how they can get off. Only an administration that hasn't given a thought to due process could be insisting that somehow this is the way to go. We need to be able to protect ourselves, and protecting ourselves evidently doesn't include a no-fly list.
Well, Larry, we totally agree with you. Dave Hodges here, and it's nice to finally make your acquaintance. But, Larry, I wanted to get into the numbers in the no-fly list. CNN reported 750,000. Fox was saying it's closer to 2 million. But I don't really care what the number is today. I expect the number of the no-fly list to go up exponentially so they can get that many more guns out of the people's hands. What do you think?
It's a way of disarming the American people without any conviction in a court of law, without any need to make an public accusation. So one of the basic guarantees of an American citizen is to know who his accusers are and be able to confront them. That's just not the case with this no-fly list. If we really are serious about increasing our safety when we're out in public, we'd get rid of the gun-free zones. That's where all but two of our public mass murders have occurred in the last 50 years. And you hardly hear anybody talking about getting rid of these killing zones.
Well, you know, Larry, I've often quipped that you don't see too many people going into police stations that are fully stocked with police officers trying to shoot it out because they don't get very far, because those people are carrying firearms. You know, you talk about the mass shootings, Larry, and it seems there was a number that came out here recently about how much the increase in mass shootings have occurred under the current administration. Do you see, Larry, the fact that the obsession with confiscating the firearms by this current administration and the increase in mass murders, I mean, way over other presidents. Do you think there's any link between those two?
Well, I really put a lot of it on the gun-free zones. And every time there's publicity given to a dirtbag utilizing a gun-free zone for his or their murder spree, the media has become, to a certain extent, I think, complicit in sending a message to other dirtbags, hey, you want to see if you can beat that one? Here's how they did it. Lots of photographs. Oftentimes now we're getting video from the surveillance cameras. So these characters, in effect, end up having their 15 minutes of fame. They're on everybody's television. We can see it. I just was watching before you all called an Arab, a Muslim, and I think it was Jerusalem, drove his car into a crowd of people waiting for a bus, and in 17 seconds, he was dead because somebody came running up on the scene with their firearm, with their handgun, a civilian, and shot him. He got up again, and he shot him again. And the police got there right toward the end of this whole episode. But it was all over by then. He would have been able to get up and keep on shooting had a besides the driver, another citizen come up upon the scene with his gun to take the dirtbag down. 17 seconds. One guy was killed because of the impact with the car. A lot of lives were obviously saved because a citizen came up with his gun.
Yeah, that's really good news whenever you see that happen, Larry. But the thing that really frightens me the most is what happens in these soft kill areas, or these the gun-free zone areas, I should call them. And what they teach in the public schools is to crowd your students into a corner of the room, lock the door, like that's somehow going to keep you safe. What would you tell the parents listening today who have children attending public schools when they hear gunshots fired? What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, probably you don't want to be in that school if it's at all possible. Let's start with that. Secondly, if the child is big enough, maybe 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and they're in that kind of terrible situation, they might be thinking about charging the dirtbag, running toward him, trying to take him down. They may get shot, but they're likely to get shot anyway. And doing something often results in the dirtbag changing course because they hadn't planned on anything out of the ordinary like that happening. It wasn't in their mental plan of how it was going to play out. They're waiting for the cops to get there, as it were, in their mind. And if one of the victims decides, I'm not going down without a fight, and charges the dirtbag, then that could make a good difference. Not a good situation to be in. Not saying that's going to be a guarantee of anything. But I do think it beats sitting there waiting for a bullet.
You know, Larry, it seems like every time we have one of these instances, or especially when Obama comes out and makes the comments like he's made about possibly confiscating guns, you see the explosion in gun sales over the next day or two. You know, numbers come out. They're delayed a little bit. But, you know, generally a week or 10 days after that event, you see the numbers come out. And the numbers have lately been just, you know, off the charts. The fact of the matter really is, Larry, is it not that we're a culture that loves our guns? We whether right or wrong, we love our guns. It's part of our heritage. And frankly, if we did not own guns, this government, this tyranny would roll right over us, and we may find ourselves all in chains. Do you feel the same way about that, Larry?
The Second Amendment is all about keeping government under control, to keep it from moving off into a tyrannical direction. And the most recent employment of the Second Amendment occurred about 3 years ago in Bunkerville, Nevada, on Cliven Bundy's ranch, when when federal agents came onto his property, forget a court proceeding, they were just going to take care of business the old-fashioned way, like a bunch of Jesse James outlaws. They came on his property with their machine guns, and they told him, we're going to settle the government's claims against you. And they initially said they were going to take his cattle for sale to satisfy the claims. Then as things progress, it turns out they were just going to shoot the cattle and wipe out about $1 million worth of property on the hoof that Mr. Bundy had. Well, that plan didn't work out because Americans came from all over the country during that standoff with their guns. And one Saturday morning, about 7:30 local time, the government disappeared. They just decided that it wasn't going to look good, it wasn't going to end well, if they had a shootout with a rancher over where his cattle could be grazing.
Well, I think, Larry, that someday the government's not going to back down. And I think if Obama persists in his strategy of inventing false reasons to come get our guns, we're going to see widespread violence and resistance. I mean, how do you gauge the American public's mood and attitude towards gun confiscation?
Well, I think that standoff in Bunkerville, Nevada, was perhaps a canary in the coal mine, and it told us that there is danger ahead. But it also told the government that if you push too hard, there will be pushback. And people did come with their guns and their ammunition, and they were ready to shoot if the government attacked. That seems to me to have been a lesson that was being sent to the government. And right now, I don't think any Democrat, let alone Republican, wants to have that kind of situation where they're viewed as precipitating the outbreak of civil war. And we came very close to that. And it wouldn't have been a civil war between the North and the South. This would have been a civil war between the people and the government.
Indeed, Larry. And, you know, you talked before about these kill zones and these gun-free zones, and a lot of these gun-free zones are at universities, institutions of higher learning. Well, you have the University of Kansas. They have decided that they're going to allow concealed weapons on campus. I think that takes effect maybe at the end of next year or early 2017. Do you see, Larry, this decision by the University of Kansas perhaps being a model of other universities around the country, or do you think that we're not really there yet for universities at large to start allowing concealed carry on campus?
Well, hopefully we do see it spreading, because Liberty University has not only said that you're welcome to carry concealed on the university premises, if you have a concealed carry permit, y'all come, but also the dormitories have now been opened up so that students are welcome to have their guns there. So they've taken away any place where a dirtbag could find a soft and easy target, because it's a large university, and even though the concealed carry age is 21 in Virginia, there are going to be quite a few students age 21 and above, let alone faculty and others working for the university, that could be carrying firearms, and my guess is will be carrying firearms. The university has a very welcoming attitude toward firearms and a very unwelcoming attitude toward dirtbags. And I think that this is something that can be pushed rather successfully, because every day that goes by and nobody shoots their eye out at Liberty University, the more it's going to be difficult, I hope, to have a convincing argument that somehow this is too dangerous to allow guns in the hands of students. Well, students, yeah, but they're the legal age to carry a concealed firearm. You got a problem with that?
Well, I certainly don't have a problem with it, and I know the Gun Owners of America don't, and I would venture to say most
most of our listening audience today doesn't either. But Larry, what I am really concerned about, let me just flip it on its side. Yesterday on the show, I called for all Americans to conceal carry anywhere they want. Is there any place where people should not conceal carry?
Well, frankly, I don't think as a practical matter there is. Now, I guess to answer the question another way, the security of the magnetometers is so strict that getting on an airplane does pretty much ensure that nobody gets on with a gun, although we know that that's not entirely true, and people have inadvertently been able to get on planes with guns. So those systems are not foolproof. Let's take a deep breath and think what was like in the up to the mid-60s in this country. You could walk on the plane obviously carrying a firearm in a case, get yourself checked in, get on the airplane with that case, and when you got on board, stick it up on top of where you were sitting. No big deal. That did not result in lots of problems. The idea that somehow we're better off and we're defenseless is a statist idea that only the government should be in a position to protect people, that only the government really can do that. Well, I would argue that the government is the last defense. We're the first responders, and to disarm the first responder doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, just remember, Larry, that when seconds count, the police are minutes away. You know, we talked here.
Right.
We've had all of our guests that we've had on the show here. We've asked about Donald Trump. Of course, I know, Larry, you're no stranger to politics. You see, Donald Trump has taken the country by storm. Well, at least half the country, and he's leading the polls. He is saying things that are certainly brash. Certainly probably have never heard come out of the mouths of the politicians. And one of the things that I really like the most about what he's done, regardless of where he stands, is that he's really smacked the mainstream media down and put them in their place and kind of really, really shown people that they really are practically useless and nothing more than mouthpieces for the government. What is your thoughts about Donald Trump, and maybe in a couple points? A, do you think he's for real? And when I say for real, I mean you always have to think about Ross Perot. And then B, do you really see him even actually being able to be elected? Is he actually the man that can actually sit in the White House, practically speaking?
Well, Gun Owners of America some time ago had endorsed Senator Cruz. We just like very much. We've worked with him. We see him standing up to his own party leadership and facing them down, even on one day when the majority leader had lied to the caucus. Senator Cruz went out on the floor and said, "Senator McConnell's a liar." That really scandalized people, but it was true. It needed to be said, and Senator Cruz was willing to do it. Now, saying that, and the fact that, well, obviously we like Senator Cruz, I've been enjoying very much watch Donald Trump tweak the nose of the Republican establishment especially, but as you're pointing out, the media elite, the whole political establishment has been completely unable to come to grips with this guy. And we think that's a lot of fun. We think it needed to be done, and we certainly have no problem with what Trump has been doing. So if he were to get the nomination, still hope that it's Senator Cruz, but if he gets the nomination, well, we've been doing a whole lot worse.
Yeah, we can. That's certainly true. Cruz does have his attributes. Trump has his, but let's get down to America as a collective entity here. Is there a time when Gun Owners of America are going to tell the American people it's time for some good old-fashioned civil disobedience? No, Mr. President, we're not going to follow your rules on gun control.
Well, we're pretty much at that point with the president's announcement that he's on the verge of imposing some executive orders in the gun control area, and we haven't done anything in terms of a release yet, although I've said on a number of talk shows already today, if the president on Monday says that I can't sell a gun to my neighbor here in the state of Virginia where it's perfectly legal to do so, I don't know if my neighbor's up for it, I haven't talked to him, but I'm going to find some other gun owners in the state, probably some political activists like myself, and make a very public matter of exchanging, of selling guns with them. Come and get us, Mr. President. You have no authority, and if you try to exercise it, we're going to have you in court and your head spinning.
You can count me in on that too, my friend, because Jim, and I know I speak for you in this matter too. Whatever comes out of the Oval Office now with gun control, I will not comply. And Jim, I know I speak for you as well.
Absolutely.
I think that our dear leader has really hit a nerve with this. We saw that in the states of Connecticut and New York, many people who had already had to register their guns when they bought them sometime in the past refused to go along with the re-registration law in those two states. And since they were already on lists, that made them vulnerable. And they just didn't bother to re-register. Then out in Washington State, after they passed their universal background check requirement for the state, people openly, even some cops participating, were selling, trading, exchanging guns in front of the cameras, in front of, I think it was the state capitol, and they sort of gave a massive unidigital salute to the legislators. Okay, you passed your law, now what are you going to do about it? And I think the same thing could happen with any executive orders the president might decide to issue. Okay, you've issued your order, now you and who else is going to enforce it?
You know, Larry, I mean, how did it go so wrong in your viewpoint? I mean, I know back in my grandfather's day, they used to go to school with their 22s or their shotguns, and they would, on the way home, hunt for dinner sometimes. And this was an accepted practice. You know, and we still have to remember the fact that there's tens, if not hundreds of millions of gun owners that don't commit crimes every day, that do not commit any crimes. What happened, Larry? How did it go so wrong?
Well, what you're describing also was not uncommon in New York City. Now, admittedly, nobody was going hunting because 50, 60 years ago, there wasn't much hunting left in New York City. But there were boys taking their rifles cased to school because when they got there sometime during the day, they were going to have target practice with their junior ROTC. And it was pretty obvious what was being carried to school. They were, most of the time, ones that told me about it were on subways. And even in a big city, most people, I think, would recognize a rifle case when they saw it. And nobody batted an eye because they knew about junior ROTC. They knew that most schools then, and by the way, here in the District of Columbia as well, schools had rifle ranges. In fact, there are some buildings that used to be schools, used for other things now, in the District of Columbia that still have those rifle ranges down in the basement. They just don't use them anymore. So it was a very common thing, and it didn't cause any problem whatsoever. The only problem eventually came in the minds of people who were control freaks, and the thought of some 13, 14-year-old lad carrying a rifle to school, just, how could we even think of such a thing? Well, take a deep breath and take a look at what was happening. Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing did happen. Nothing would happen. Larry, just very quickly here, we're running out of time, and our guest today has been Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. But Larry, tell people how they can follow you. And if we've got a minute here, very quickly kind of encapsulate why you think Obama is going after our guns.
Well, you can get a hold of Gun Owners of America at gunowners.org on the web. When you go there, take advantage of the free opportunity to sign up for our alerts. It was people getting those email that turned around and defeated gun control after Sandy Hook. Even when the NRA was supporting that measure, it was killed because there were so many people lighting fires under their congressmen after they got word from Gun Owners of America. In fact, we even got the NRA to do a 180 at that very time, because they had initially supported the legislation in the Senate, and it was beat ultimately. About a week after, we saw the NRA happily turn around and oppose the measure that they had supported, why the bill was defeated. So those email and getting those things from us can make a huge difference. And it's all to advance the agenda of the Second Amendment. That's all we're about. We want to see the government back in its box where the Constitution was designed to keep it.
Yeah, very good, Larry. Larry, you've been a terrific guest, and we certainly look forward to having you on again. And from me personally, and speaking on behalf of Jim and the show, and I'm sure most of the people in the listening audience, we want to publicly thank you for the great work you're doing to preserve our liberties with regard to the Second Amendment.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the show that you're doing and the opportunity to speak to your public. Thank you.
Thanks, thank Larry, you, as Larry. Always. Appreciate it.
You know, Jim, I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have people like Larry Pratt and some of the great people, you know, with Paul Prestidon yesterday, the people who are willing to put themselves out there in front and take an absolute risk on behalf of the rest of us. And let it be said, we have the Second Amendment to protect the First Amendment. Well, that's all the time we have for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you back here on Monday. We hope you have a great weekend. Tune in to our Sunday night show at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Same location. Go out and have a great week. God bless.